Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Friday News Dump Cleveland Browns extravaganza bleep-o hits once again. Hit the breaking news sounder.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Breaking news.
I got news for you.
On Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
All right. That's just a ridiculous thing to play, and then I'm going to yell about something. But the reality is, Ian Rappaport tweeting this out about 4 minutes ago. I know Mary Kay Cabot has something out as well. The Browns and quarterback Deshaun Watson have agreed to terms on a contract restructuring, making it easy, or sorry, easing the salary cap burden for years to come. The rework deal also signals that Watson is expected to be on the Browns next season. This is about the cap hit after his deal is up. We'll get to, so basically, the Browns are taking and adding more voidable years onto the back end of Deshaun's contract. So we're going to have dead cap when for Deshaun, basically until my twins, who are 11, will probably have children, maybe be married, maybe have a good 401k started. Hopefully they'll be better at handling their money than the Cleveland Browns will. This is embarrassing. Like, and by the way, you cannot convince me, Spencer, that this wasn't done because it's Friday at 4 o'clock and the Browns think.
And it's Christmas week.
Oh, yeah. They can just squeak this one past everybody.
I don't know that they thought they were nothing with Deshaun Watson's name on is getting squeaked past anybody.
Oh, yeah. No. That's why you do it at Friday at 4 because you think, it's
less
Christmas
blowback.
Week. Yeah, this wouldn't be as bad as if you
jokes
did it.
Jokes on them. Till 7.
Yeah, well, and by the way, we do have overtime tonight on the station as well. So I believe we're on until 11 o'clock tonight. So basically, we got the answer from the Browns. We got a couple big answers here. Number one, this means Andrew Berry's going to be back. If Andrew Berry was able to negotiate this one way or another, Andrew's going to be back. All right, check the first box. The second box is they clearly haven't learned. This is an act of desperation. Keeping money on the cap due to this contract for longer than it needs to be proves that they're going to force themselves into a corner to try and compete next year when they have no business doing so. This is just, I mean, can you just get out of your damn way? Can you just stop? Because it's one dumb, desperate decision after another. The decision to trade for Deshaun and give him $230 million, dumb and desperate, right? Every opportunity to restructure this thing in the first place, dumb and desperate. Doing it this year, dumb and desperate. Keeping Deshaun on the roster next year because you can't afford to part with him in the first place, dumb and desperate. Like, can we just stop with this?
Well, I think what's more, I was already subscribed to the idea that he was going to be here next year in some capacity. We talked about that earlier. What I'm sort of blown away by is Tom Pelissero saying it's a strong sign Watson will be in Cleveland two more years at least, like until the full end. He is going to see somehow the end of this ridiculous contract that should have never been handed out in the first place, and that's what's mind-blowing to me because to your point, Nick, like the Browns just can't take the easy out. We thought they were going to have an easy out with, like, the whole that lawsuit that popped up in the middle of the season. Then that came to fruition, and it was like, okay, this isn't going to be an easy out. The easy out was, okay, we know he has to be on the roster next year. You'll play that however you play it. He's got the Achilles injury. He can't come back until week 8 anyway, so we'll just kind of, you know, ride it out, and then he'll be here, and he won't start. Okay. But to know that he's not going to be here for 2 seasons, like, Just take the L. Just use the injury as the reason. Like, okay, yeah, he's going to be back next year because of the contract, but at some point we got to move on. We got to cut ties. We just can't trust that he's going to be healthy anymore. And so, yeah, we have to part ways with him, and we're just going to eat the money because, you know, this is what the Broncos did. Like, it's just kind of the way the NFL – like, they can't even take the out of just admitting at some point, like – they don't even have to come out and say, like, we got the trade wrong. Use the injuries as an excuse. Why? They can say, he's injured too much. We can't do it. We got to get out of this after next year.
Why are we questioning? They're smarter than us, right? I mean, guys, they have 2 winning seasons in 5 years. They're basically the 85 Bears. We've got the new age Bill Walsh and George Seifert. We've got Eddie DeBartolo. We've got the smartest guys in town in football. Right here.
Ivy Leaguers.
You're
an Ivy Leaguer too. So.
Are there going to be any Browns fans left in 7 years? Seriously. Like, why is anybody to stick up for this? Absolutely. And here's the thing. Guys, 3% of people cheered an injury this year. The dude gets injured next year, it might be half the freaking stadium. Like, at what point do you just get the damn point? At what point do you just, like, you do not just, because what it is it's circular logic. It honestly is the greatest, the most apt way to describe this is it's continuously kicking the can down the road. Not on the contract, but on the idea of we have, that didn't work, but wait, there's something better. We're going to do it even better. We're going to be even smarter about this. Good luck.
How do they think this is tenable is my question. Like, I understood.
They're not thinking clearly.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, I understood why next year he had to be on the roster. You can't cut him and have to pay $170 million in a dead cap hit. I know everybody likes to throw out, like, just move on from him. It's done. It's not that simple. Like, $172 million. I understand Russell Wilson's deal with the $85 million or whatever it was ridiculous. $172 million is much worse. So you couldn't do it. I got that he was going to be back in some capacity. But like I said, it was easier to sell it as like, well, he's got to be here, but he's got the injury. You might not have even seen him much around next year. But now you're talking about 2 years down the line, he's still going to be part of this organization. Like, that's the problem. That is the thing I can't wrap my head around. And I don't understand why this organization just can't admit that they messed up one. Like, they can't even admit they messed up one thing. And that now the question becomes, like, what does that look like? Is it he's 2 years as a backup? Is it that he's 2 years just kind of here but not really doing anything and we just know he's there because of the contract? Or is it 2 years where, like, they legit – because the only way you can make this news worse is you trot him out next year and say, like, he's still our starting quarterback. Or Andrew Berry talks in 3 weeks when the season's over and says, we still believe he can be our guy.
Yeah, Browns fans are officially being held hostage by guys trying to save their jobs. The only way that this gets approved by Haslam, the only way that this gets run through is if Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski pitched some miraculous, miracle birth scenario where you're out of the bleep storm next year. And the problem is you might be able to do something for a year, but you're now – the math isn't mathing. It's going to be really hard to build consistent winning teams year after year after year. You're now kicking the can down the road on Stefanski and Berry. And I just feel so bad for other Browns fans who are listening to this today who aren't fooled by some crap Friday news dump because the Browns, again, think they're smarter than you. Hey, nobody's going to hear this, or we're going to mitigate the blowback if we just do it at Friday after Christmas at 4 p.m. Embarrass me. You know, because Coach on Twitter saying fans want the Browns to have flexibility to do something, so when they have flexibility after this move, people are upset. No, I didn't want the Browns to have flexibility. I wanted the Browns to learn their lesson, and sometimes you have to eat bleep to learn a lesson. And that bleep is the Deshaun contract. So this idea you had to move more dead money into future years, which, by the way, yes, let's say it's 25 dead, and I'm just throwing out numbers here because we don't have them officially. Yeah. Let's say it's 25 a year for the 3 years he isn't, or 4 years he's not going to be here. That's still $25 million. You aren't going to be able to spend it.
But the problem, Nick, is that money on the books is $25 million a year after he's not here. But the problem is that without an extension to this contract, which, can you imagine if they actually gave him an extension at some point at the end of this?
This is just as bad as that.
That money all gets accelerated, though. So if it's 25 a year for 3 years after the fact, that's $75 million that you're eating when he's finally off the roster. Like, it all accelerates onto whatever the last year he's – the first year he's gone, that's when you pay that. So it's not like you can spread it out once he's off the roster. That's not how it works. So it's going to be a problem regardless. Now, you brought up an interesting thing because we talked about earlier, like, are Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry only getting next year with all this talk of, like, hey, they're back next year, and if they try to thread the needle on winning, does this now guarantee – that they are getting 2 years to kind of get through this bleep storm and figure it out on the other side? Because I guess that's maybe the one thing that this kind of indicates too, the, like, bigger picture is, okay, we're going to give them a little bit longer runway here to sort this thing out around the Deshaun Watson situation.
This is embarrassing. This whole org, it's for so many times I've tried to stand by some of the decisions. I've tried but 11 win seasons. Hey, it's better than Chris Palmer. It's better than Eric Mangini. I'll be honest with you. I think this might be worse than that. Yeah, those guys didn't win, but this is now going to be a 7-year deal with these guys, and five of which are going to be for a quarterback that should have been gone a year ago. And it's just continuing to rob Peter to pay Paul, rob the future to pay now. Just an embarrassing day. Drew on Twitter saying it's a nightmare we can't wake up from, Nick. But hey, again, I just want you to know, their verticals and their processes are undefeated because nobody can see what they are and they're totally made up.
Honestly, the new stadium can't get here soon enough.
Oh, no. Deshaun will still be the quarterback then, right?
2029?
Deshaun will be playing on a bionic leg. And there'll be another 50 allegations against Deshaun, and maybe a couple more trips to Saudi Arabia. And we're just gonna we're just gonna do it. Why stop at 3 years with this guy?
How many more times will he throw up the four?
Why even wait now? Hit him with another contract extension. Let's give him another $230 million.
That's the only
million.
Thing that would have made this deal worse.
Yeah, 3 years from now, another $230 million. It'll be like bargain bin for a quarterback.
Honestly, though, like, that has to be the only silver lining, right? Is that in 2029 he hopefully shouldn't be on the roster anymore. And you can sell the fans on, like, hey, we have this new stadium, and come hang out and watch the Browns. A new era is ushered in without Deshaun Watson.
Maybe we could trade for another guy by 2029. Because, again, we'll be on to the next, short term. How can we go ahead and escape? What quick act of desperation meets short term, shortcut? Like, maybe then we could trade for, like, a guy with, like, 100 allegations. Maybe give him like a $400 million.
Which quarterback has 100 allegations against him in 3 years?
I think those quarterbacks have 3 or 4 years to figure that out. No,
they have 3 or 4 years to get themselves in some real legal trouble.
It's really only 25 allegations a year. I mean, that's nothing to Deshaun Watson.
Not that many,
You really try. You really go out there. I mean, I'm really trying not to get in trouble on a Friday here. This is just damn embarrassing.
Yeah, don't let the station Friday news dub your firing. Yeah. Nick Wilson was let go
on Friday
afternoon.
Is this all bait? Is basically the end goal is you've sunk the next 3 years of Browns' the ability to win consistently and to think coherently, all in the name of serving two of the most overrated leaders ever because Kevin Stefanski just didn't go full Hugh Jackson. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's the bar that I want for my franchise. Well, but if it comes at the cost of Nick Wilson's career, maybe it's worth it over there.
Well, here's the biggest problem for me, Nick. Like, I understood 1 year of him being here, and I understood why you had to kind of do that. And I think you could have found different ways to navigate that, whether it was pay him not to be around, or he's just around, but he's not really at the center of things, whatever. But now you're talking about 2 years where this fan base has to, like, deal with his presence. And I understand, like, in the locker room, I don't know that players are going to make a big deal out of it or cause a big scene. Every time they've talked about Deshaun, it's always been in a way that seems pretty positive and, like, they consider him a good teammate. And I know that's what teammates say. There probably is some people in the locker room who maybe don't like Deshaun, for all we know. But my point here is, like, fine, in the locker room, maybe you can make that dynamic work or you can lower any problems that are going to – you can hide any problems that could exist. But outside looking in, man, like – how do you get a fan base that has already shown you how apathetic they are at this point in the season, 3-12, everything that's happened, to buy back into this team, not just for 1 year where he's going to be here, because everyone kind of understood you had to deal with that, but now 2 more years of this? 2 more years. I mean, that's absurd to think that that's going to just absolutely fly with this fan base. It's crazy.
So the reports are out there. The Browns and Deshaun Watson have agreed to terms on a contract restructuring. This is not about the money of the next 2 years. It's about the cap after his deal is up, according to Ian Rappaport. Tom Pelissero also reporting that it's This move makes it likely that Deshaun Watson is with the Cleveland Browns for the next 2 years because the first three have gone so well. 216-474-0092. Just curious. What do you guys think about this? You guys like this move? Smartest guys in the room? You like what the smartest guys in the room have done? We'll come back because we dummy. We have to work for a living. We can't swindle a billionaire owner to just keep kicking the can down the road and keeping us employed. No. We actually have to work for a living, unlike Andrew and Kevin, who just keep stealing money. It's okay. And Deshaun, too, while we're at it. Hey, three of a kind. When we come back, we'll continue to react to all this crap on 92.3 The Fan. I absolutely think that Miles' comments last week are a part of this decision. And I think Joel Bitonio saying he wants to know the direction, Denzel Ward saying he wants to know the direction of this team. And listen, I want to say that I respect Miles, Denzel, Joel, and anybody else who wants to throw out there and use their clout with this team to speak to what is important for this team, and namely in the name of continuing to try and win. I respect that. I don't have to put my body on the line every Sunday for a team that has basically had three losing seasons in 4 years. So I respect that. Here's the problem. This organization is always serving someone. And the only thing, so this time it's keeping Miles happy, right? It's about winning again next year. Do you know what the never-ending goal of every good NFL franchise is? It's sustainable winning. And you are in a position where you're going up against teams with the full house or teams with three of a kind, and you've got like a two, a three, a four. Now that actually would be a good one. Basically, you got a jack squat of a hand, all right? You can tell I'm not a gambler. You can tell I'm not a card shark.
But you're like an eight and a seven.
The point is, like, this isn't – you're not doing this for the right reason. You're not doing this because you think – this will lead to sustainable winning. You're doing it because you think restructuring Deshaun's contract and keeping here for an extra year after this next year, which, by the way, good luck spinning that PR you-know-what fest, but you're doing this to try and win next year. And the problem is, the longer you do this, the harder it's going to be to do this the right way. And the problem is, your absolute refusal to say, well, this year is a lost year. Next year, let's use to build, not rebuild, but to build, and then let's go ahead and see salary cap-wise where we are at the end of the Deshaun situation. No, you can't do that because you're too busy trying to keep too many people happy instead of asking yourself, what does it take to build a consistent winner? This ain't it.
Well, and I think there is something to be said for here's what the real kicker is, Nick, because as Todd Pelissero added in terms of context of the situation, this restructure does not impact the $73 million cap number that he's due in 2025. So, theoretically, they could go out, you know, before the season next year or during the offseason and restructure that portion of his contract even further so they can free up more cap space to do things. If they do that, then yes, like 100%. Like, this is the most boneheaded thing you could possibly – because, and I said it last year. I said last year – you might as well just go into 2024 and whatever his cap number was, I think it was 60-something million at the time, just eat it. Just eat it now, because if this turns out to not work out, you're going to be happy that you don't have to worry about the money that's going to be due to him at a later date when you're not giving him a second contract. So if they go out next year and they don't at least accept, like, okay, we got to try to eat this $73 million and just get it off the books and clear as much of this as possible, and they restructure it even further – that is going to be, again, what you're alluding to, just like complete negligence on the part of this organization. It's, and just keep trying to kick the can down the road. Eventually that bill's going to come due, and it's just making it bigger and bigger and bigger in the name of trying to just like prove a point next year. And again, I want them to try to stay competitive next year because I love the guys on this team. I love Miles Garrett. I love Joel Bitonio.
I love them.
I want to see him do it. But
here's the thing. Everybody loves them. But the point is, can you win as constructed with a little bit more salary cap space and okay draft collateral? And the answer is probably no. And so you're going to try and force it out of desperation because a couple guys gave you an ultimatum. It's okay to go to these guys and go, you know what, Miles, I love you, but in the best interest of the Browns organization, we can't do this. It's okay to do that. Grown-ups do that. Well, it's so funny. They traded a guy. Traded a guy because they needed an adult in the room. And honestly, I don't see an adult in the room in Berea. I see a bunch of guys either trying to keep their jobs or trying to defend a deal that honestly is the worst trade in NFL history, and you're only making it worse, and you're only doing it sleight of hand. That's all this is. It's just a big magic trick, and the problem is the payoff is not going to be the thing it needs to be, which is consecutive winning seasons for the first time since 1988 and 1999.
Well, but here's the problem, Nick, and this is a larger topic that I know we had sort of talked about before the show a little bit as well, but doesn't the organization sort of have to try to win next year?
Because have to try and do what's best for the state of the organization.
If Jimmy Haslam is telling everybody he can, everybody that gets it, that he gets an ear of, he's telling everybody, I'm bringing back Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry next year. They're not in trouble. You know, I'm showing them some grace. I learned my lesson about firing coaches, and I want to have continuity. If he's telling everybody that, again, if they blow it up and they go have like another 3-win season, they're probably getting fired anyway, whether Deshaun's still here in 2026 or not.
But again,
so they have to kind of go out and do that because their jobs are on the line.
But that again is the problem.
Well, I'm not saying that you're not right, but I'm saying like the moment he said that publicly, the moment he went out and told everybody that he told Diana Rossini just this week apparently, like every time he says that, it just makes it more and more it makes it more and more clear that that has to be their path forward, because if they blow it up, they're going to, like, what's the point of having a lame duck year for a coach and a GM if they blow it up?
Yeah, and I'm sorry though, that's not a good justification. Right? So now you're being held hostage by
guys
who are
just, justification for them because it's their job.
Yeah, yeah, but again, that's not a good reason to do things. Like everybody's,
I'm not saying it is.
Let me ask you, who's trying to win? Who's trying to win long term? Because I got guys trying to save their jobs. I got Deshaun Watson trying to get as much money as he can while playing as little as he can. I got Miles trying to get them to win, even if it doesn't mean he's going to win 2 years from now. Like, who's really trying to win Super Bowls here? Because what you're going to win, the best case scenario next year, is the Steelers. You're going to take a quarterback like Kirk Cousins, maybe win 10 games, be one and done in the playoffs. Then next year, that next offseason, you're going to have to, we can't get anybody better than Kirk Cousins. I guess we're going to have to keep Kirk Cousins.
Again, there's still some things that have to play out. Like, you could end up with a top three pick and have a rookie, and then maybe that's the thing you're selling in 2026. I don't know.
By the way, in that scenario, you'll probably win just enough not to have a top three pick, so you won't even be in the Arch Manning circumstances.
I'm saying this year, though. This year. Like, right now, you could still finish with, like, a top three pick and be in the mix for a Cam Ward or
Shador Sanders. Yeah, but again, that's another thing. You're drafting a quarterback where everybody's like, yeah, they could be good. So you're forcing the decision out of desperation. It's just this – it's this pattern of – it's either self-serving or it's talking yourself – it's not that hard to have ethics when it comes to running – or I don't want to say morals because that then takes a different light with the Deshaun stuff. I've already taken enough shots there. That's not that hard to stick to your scruples. And this organization, every year, it's firing wild shots in a different direction. And by the way, they took over, it should be noted, they took over a team that was ready to win. They had a quarterback. They had a young edge rusher. They had a young elite quarterback. They did have OBJ, who at that point still didn't completely suck. They had pieces. They had almost everything you needed to win. And since then, look at where we've gone in 5 years. And Jimmy Haslam saying, sign me up for this more. This is lunacy. What? Now just to make Miles happy? Guys, if this plan doesn't work out, he's going to want out in a year. And then all you've done is kick the can down the road and maybe lessened his value a little bit. Where are the adults? I understand. Listen, it's not my job, so I understand it's easier for me to say this.
Yeah.
But how anybody thought, and I'll be honest with you, it's cowardice. Like, leaking this crap at Friday at 4 p.m. is the epitome of a gutless, guileless, cowardly organization.
So,
if you had any scruples, you wouldn't hide this on a Friday.
I do think that's – I think them doing it the way they did it today, rolling this out at, 4 o'clock, for a little after 4 o'clock on a Friday is certainly, like, speaks to the way that they handle things, and it was, a totally sort of, like, disingenuous way to go about it. I agree. I'm in a tough spot, though, Nick, because, like, for me, I have been very much on the train of, like, you shouldn't just blow it up entirely.
How much of that is you just don't want to see another crappy football season?
No, but I don't know where – when you say blow it up, I don't know what you mean. I don't know if you mean, like, go back to the Hugh Jackson days where you're 1-31 in 2 seasons.
No, I don't mean tanking. Nobody should tank. That's the dumbest idea in football.
Okay, well, that's my point, because – I do like when people say blow it up, I think that's what they mean. I think there's, I'm not saying you, but I think there's a lot of people that mean like, yeah, just go back to what we did in 2016, 17 and start all over again and rip up the I don't think you have to do that, because again, the proof is in the pudding on that. The Browns did that, and what did they get them? You just rattled it off. Two winning seasons that you made the playoffs and one playoff win and it's been since 2017, Mathis Hart, 8 years, 7 years since then. Like, that's all you've got to show for it. So even that doesn't get you the end result you're looking for, which is competing for Super Bowls necessarily. So I'm not of the ilk of like, yes, strip it all down to the studs and start all over. And you do see teams go from like being a bad team 1 year to being a playoff team the next year. And if that's what you can sell Myles Garrett on, like, let's just get to the tournament and see what happens, then maybe that's what keeps him around. But I also understand where like this move and kicking money further down the – like not just trying to – limit the damage the best you can in the now and just get out from underneath the Deshaun thing as soon as possible and admitting the mistake. That's the problem that I have, because – and again, I knew it wasn't going to happen this year anyway. But now signing up for this for two more years where you're going to lose fans and fans are going to be out there trying to support a team that they truly can't align with because they're still mad that this guy's still here. Like, why would you prolong a situation that, like you said, was a PR disaster – not so long ago in October when he's injured and they're cheering for him being carted off the field. Like, how can you try to prolong that situation for another 2 years?
Because you like Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry personally, because you're afraid, you don't trust yourself to make the decisions to go hire the next right guys, whether in the building or not, and because your PR spin is going to be, we're doing this in the name of keeping Miles and Denzel. And again, none of that gets you any close to winning. Let's go with Matt in a car. Matt, hi. Happy Friday.
Hi. Happy Friday, guys. Hope you had a great Christmas. Honestly, if I was Kevin Stefanski at the news of that, I would just turn in my resignation right now. Because at this point, like, he doesn't get any credit for his playoff wins anyways, it seems like, in this town. Despite winning, you know, in spite of Watson. Like, Watson's been the only QB he's had any issues with. And yet every single fan around here seems to treat him like he's, like, you know, the second coming of Hugh Jackson. If I was fancy at that news, because, like, it seems like every single QB that he's worked with has been fine except for Watson, and yet everyone wants to make it seem like it's a fancy issue. It's clearly Barry and DePodesta pulling the strings, and, like, just honestly, this is just a gateway to just honestly more, at the very least, like, more like 6 to 10 seasons. I don't know what in the world is going on, and the unfortunate reality is some of these Browns fans are, like, just, I don't know, they're just too foolish to, like, just cancel season tickets, but, like, just, the problem is, like, the Haslams are going to listen as long as the money's coming, it's perfect Friday, you know, 4 p.m. news dump, and, so, you know, I fully expect Jose Ramirez to get traded now because everyone's picked off at the Haslam. So Dolan uses the attraction to cut more salary.
All right, Matt, we got to run, buddy. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. When we come back, we have a much more salient explanation of the Browns' salary cap maneuverings of Deshaun's contract from our friends at SpotTrack next on 92.3 The Fan. The basic is this doesn't affect money the next 2 years, at least right now. It's more years after the contract is over. I'm literally just going to read the SpotTrack representation of this, and then at some point we'll try and make it make sense. But again, I have plenty of guys who have burner accounts that work for the Browns telling me that I don't know ball because this is totally a genius move by the Cleveland Browns. But here we go. Here's what's going on. This is, again, verbatim. Here's what's going on with the Deshaun Watson's contract. Right now he holds cap hits of $72 million in each of the next two seasons. He also holds $172 million of dead cap in 2025, rendering him unreleasable. The Browns are preparing to keep him rostered through 2026, but will need to convert salary into signing bonus to temper his $73 million hits. In order to do this, the dead cap that hits the 2027 cap will soar once the contract voids. With today's restructuring, is likely done is move back the void dates in his contract and added dummy salaries to 2027 and 2028. This allows Cleveland the opportunity to designate post-June 1 release in 2027, spreading out what is likely to be around $89.5 million of dead cap when it's all said and done. So, now you can correct me here, because again, I don't know ball and I don't know spot track here. That means 72 million, roughly 73 million dead cap, or not dead cap, sorry, cap hits the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And then spreading the basically $90 million over the 2 years after that.
Yeah, because if you make them a June 1st release, you can basically take that money and put half of it on 2027, half of it on 2028. So that makes sense. The problem is that number could rise because you bring up the 73 million figures the next 2 years. That amount, they could restructure that again and then add to the voidable years even more money. So we have to kind of see how that plays out, because if they try to create more cap space. And listen,
So you go 73, 73 to probably 45, 45, or maybe you cut that in half next year.
Maybe it's like 50 and then 50.
Again,
and then
I understand why people think this is a good move. I'm here to tell you, paying this much money, especially in dead cap, 2 years after Deshaun isn't on the roster, is still a tremendously stupid idea.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, like,
it's going to hamper you for the next 5 years.
Here's my thing. You can say it's a savvy money move by a GM in the NFL, right? Like, we can say this is the new age of the NFL. The salary cap isn't real. All the good GMs know that, and they find ways to manipulate it. And listen, like, I get it. The salary cap goes up every year. So this will be a small – like, the amount of money dedicated to Deshaun, the percentage of that – drops every year because there's more money that you have in your pot because the cap goes up. So I get how all that works. But at the same time, like, look around the league at teams that rely on just kicking the can down the road and having voided years on contracts. Where has that gotten the Saints since the Drew Brees contract? Where has it gotten them?
I believe a bunch of middle-of-the-road years. And by the way, that's playing in a really, really light division, the NFC South.
And so that's my point. Like, you can look around and find teams that do that. Where has it actually gotten them? Like, you were better off doing what the Rams did and, like, trading all your draft capital for players that could play right now and doing that way, and then having to, like, recoup draft picks later and just be kind of average for a couple years than you are doing what the Saints did and what the Browns are now doing, which is just relying on voidable years to fix everything. So I'm not saying that in the name of winning next year, which is the argument we were just having, it does make a lot of sense. And it will work out for the Browns in terms of, like, creating space to make some moves next year and stay competitive like Myles Garrett wants. And I understand why they're going about it that way. But the bigger question is, should they do that, or should they just kind of start over? Or, and the other part of this then is, like, long term, like, okay, does this actually work out for you in the end? If you're trying to save your job, like, if Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski think they're going to be here till the end of their contracts, are you talking about it? Are you going to be fired after 2026 anyway because you're just kind of meddling in mediocrity and you don't have a lot of cap space because you've just kicked so much cans down the road?
That thinking, to me, is already fireable. If you're thinking about setting yourself up for success next year, I have no interest in being in business with you. If this is about preserving what you have, knowing that it likely puts you in a much worse situation next year, and by the way, you could still end up at 3-14 having to trade Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. It just reeks of desperation. It really does. And here's the thing. Like Tino on Twitter saying, you know, what else can we do? We cut him. We're essentially waving the white flag for the next two seasons while saying goodbye to Miles, Betonio, and possibly Ward and Chubb. Guys, that might have already been put into motion when you didn't draft well enough without the picks you gave up to get Deshaun Watson. Like, I just think this idea of constantly trying to sell something as a win, no. You're constantly working. And by the way, I'm not drafting a quarterback this offseason now, because 4 of the 5 years of a rookie contract will have been sacrificed. That competitive advantage you get will have been sacrificed to paying Deshaun Watson too much damn money. I'll be honest. It might even have to take you off the board of drafting a quarterback in 2026, because it'll still only be 3 years.
I disagree with that, because that's the whole point of drafting a rookie, is they're on the rookie deal. So it doesn't matter what
but you don't want to. But you know what you do when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal? You spend the rest of the money elsewhere, not on a slap-ass quarterback who can't walk out of bed without getting hurt.
Well, yeah, that's true, but you can't wait to draft one just because.
Yes, you can. Well, in a year where the quarterbacks are not thought to be franchise caliber,
you can wait.
Hell, yes, you can.
Well, but the problem with, like, waiting for next year and trying to thread the needle and getting Arch Manning is, like, there's a lot that has to happen for you to get Arch Manning.
Well, no, but I'll be honest with you. That's the only way you should draft a quarterback in 2026. With this move, with the way this sets up, you cannot. You just can continue. Like, Kirk Cousins doesn't seem as desperate to me now. Kirk Cousins seems like, he wants to play for $1 million next year. Sure, I have no idea if it'll work out, but that's better than basically sacrificing 4 years of a five-year rookie contract, which, by the way, what's the most expensive year of a rookie contract? The fifth-year option. So basically, you will never have benefited from the most valuable thing you can have in the NFL, which is a rookie contract. So if you think one of these dudes can be a franchise quarterback, well, you take him when you take him. Nobody's saying any of these guys can be franchise quarterbacks this year.
I think there's some people. But no, I mean, you're right in the sense that, like, you're wasting that window. I mean, like, it's like, look at the Texans did, right? Like, they have C.J. Stroud on a rookie contract. They went out last year. They trade for Stephon Diggs. They make all these other moves. And then they try to become this team that can potentially could be for a Super Bowl. So you're right. Like, they'll miss some of that. But I still don't think, like, the beauty of the rookie contract is that it allows a team like the Browns, who are in this very dicey situation, to potentially be able to take one and find their franchise guy while they have this DeSean contract on the books.
And in fairness,
the other thing I'll say to people, because, again, they're bringing up, like, well, this is genius for us. We're kicking can. The other thing to think about is, like, they've also done that with other players. That's the important thing here, too. It's not just DeSean's contract that they're kicking down the road. It's, like, Denzel Ward's future years. It's Jack Conklin, who is a conversation we have to have this offseason. His future money. It's a bunch of guys, and so that adds up to, yeah, maybe it's the 45 and 27 and 28 for DeSean, but it's also going to be like guys that are maybe also being like leaving the team at that time, that factors into your dead money cap as well.
And just, and by the way, if you're defending the Browns organization at this point, you've lost the plot. I don't give a damn how good it seems like you are at manipulating a cap when you've won nothing, when you can't pick a quarterback, when you've made the worst trade in NFL history, when you've taken a team that looked like it was ready to win every single year.
So this all goes back to
real quick. Yeah. When you look like you were ready to build a team that was ready to be sustainably competitive for multiple years, for a half decade, for 7 years, all in the name of trying to get one last year of winning with Myles Garrett. Like, you do nothing well. You do everything average or below average, except, hey, nobody manipulates. That has nothing to do with how good they are. That actually has to do with how good Jimmy Haslam is at spending his own damn money.
Well, and that's to me, Nick, like the points you're sort of mentioning here and alluding to, that all goes back to the question of, like, what has Andrew Berry proven to you over the last, 5 years that he does exceptionally well? Because
Jimmy Haslam's shoes.
The only thing I can think of is that he knows how to pay people. All he's been able to do, like, he paid Myles Garrett. That wasn't his draft pick, but he paid him. He paid Denzel Ward. Wasn't his draft pick, but he paid him. He paid all the guys that other people brought in here and drafted, and then what else has he proven to you? So if your only argument is like, well, this is really savvy business move by Andrew Berry, and that's the thing that you're falling back on, look around at everything else. He hasn't drafted very well. They don't have a lot of talent coming up on this roster to make you feel good about the team moving forward. The only other thing we can say is does well is he trades for wide receivers very well. He's nailed two wide receiver trades, Amari Cooper and now Jerry Jeudy. That's about it. But, like, again, if I'm asking this overarching question of what does he do well, the only thing I can say is, like, move money around, which we think is savvy, and pay guys. I can't say anything else. So why are we trusting the guy that all he's done is move money around and pay guys that he knows that they have a way out of this that makes sense?
We're going to have more on this, obviously, as the show goes on. Daryl Ryder's going to join us at 6 o'clock today. When we come back, it's time for the 5 at 5 on 92.3 The Fan.